to save me and walk with him for all eternity.
Presence with us today. Thank you for the joy of knowing that we're on our way to see you in heaven someday, Lord, where every tear will be wiped away, where all will be peace and joy forever with you. Thank you, Lord, for the victory that we have as children of the living God this morning. Oh, we bless your name and praise you right now, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for the joy of knowing that our sins are forgiven this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the work that your Son, Jesus Christ, did on the cross of Calvary, paying with his very life, with his death, with his blood, the purchase price for our salvation, so that our sins might be washed away, that we might be justified through Jesus Christ, that we might be able to stand before you in the favor of God. Thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for the hope of everlasting life today. Thank you for your amazing grace that accomplished that, O Lord. We pray, O God, that as we receive communion this morning together, this will be a time of acknowledging, Lord, that there was absolutely nothing we could do to accomplish our own liberty, our own freedom from sin, but you did the work in full. And all of our praise and thanksgiving belongs to you. We love you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. This morning, as we prepare our hearts to receive Holy Communion together, I want to invite those who are serving, please, to come and be prepared to wait upon us this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated, congregation, as we receive the elements today. We'll stand again in just a few moments. But let us prepare our hearts together to receive communion this morning as we sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. Thank you, Lord.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
His grace.
Amazing grace, would you say amen? So thankful to the Lord for all that he's done for us and all that he is doing now and everything he's going to do for us in the days to come. We're so blessed to be God's children this morning and to be living in his fullness of salvation and the great sense of security and peace that we feel in knowing that our lives are hidden with Christ in God, that nothing in all of this world can take the love of God away from us, separate us from the love of God, that no one in all the universe can pull us out of our Father's hand. Amen. We are safe and secure in the Lord today through the powerful work of Jesus Christ. And we receive communion today to remind us of the body and the blood of Jesus that was sacrificed on the old rugged cross to pay that price for our salvation. Can we stand together, please, to receive communion? I received from the Lord what also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you." As we pray together, I want to remind all of you who are here this morning who need a healing touch from the Lord today, that Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5 declared that Jesus the Messiah would be wounded for our transgressions, he would be bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement that would bring us peace would be upon him, and with his stripes we would be healed. Some may say, well, Isaiah was speaking only about spiritual healing. No. Matthew, the gospel writer in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, declared that Jesus performed these healing miracles all around him. He performed healings that he might fulfill the words spoken by Isaiah the prophet. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. And so I say to you this morning, there is healing available in the Lord Jesus today. Healing for the spirit, mind, and body. And if you need healing today, I encourage you this morning to receive healing from the Lord in faith right now. And believe wholeheartedly today in the work that Jesus has accomplished for you. Heidi, let me have the microphone, please. Pastor Peter, would you lead us in prayer for communion today? And as you pray, pray for healing for those who need healing in the body this morning.
Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus that your healing touch would touch everyone here who is in need of a touch from the Master's hand. That they would reach out and touch the hem of your garment and receive your virtue flowing through their being. That would cast aside every form of sickness and disease that would try to torment them. And that you would make them whole and well.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, that you did it when you walked this earth and you promised that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
And that you will touch us even here in 2023. We give you glory and praise and honor that healing is provided in your broken body.
Yes, yes, yes.
In your shed blood. By your stripes we are healed.
Thank you, Lord.
And I pray, Father, that your body and your blood, as we partake of these elements, would penetrate our soul, our spirit, and our body.
Yes.
To make us whole.
Yes.
In Jesus' precious name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Let's eat the bread together, please. Same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink this in remembrance of me." Let's drink together, please. Thank you, Lord. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. And he is coming again. And we look forward to seeing the Lord Jesus someday soon. Until then, we declare, my chains are gone. I've been set free. Sing it out now. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. God said a good amen. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, it's a good day to be in the house of the Lord this morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in the goodness of our God. Amen. Would you take a moment to turn and greet those around you, please, before you're seated. Make everybody feel welcome today in the house of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. We want to welcome you again. Thank you for being here today. We want to take a moment, as we do every Sunday, to welcome those that might be visiting for the very first time today. If that's you, we send out a special welcome, and we would like to ask you to please take a moment before you leave today to fill out the information card that's located on the back of the seat directly in front of you. If you'll take that, fill that out, swing by our welcome center in the lobby right after service. We'll have some people in place to receive that card. Introduce themselves to you, and we got a nice little sweet gift that we want to give you for being our special guest today. So God bless you. Thank you for being here. We've got several announcements today, so buckle up and hold on. We're going to try to go through these as fast as we can, but our first announcement, I'm going to ask Pastor Peter to come and share that real quick. Pastor Peter.
Thank you, Bob. As most of you recall, I am a veteran, having been in the military a time or two. And so we have put together a veteran celebration coming up on the Thursday, the 26th of January. You can pick up a card to remind yourself at the Welcome Center. You can go online. You can register. I expect that we will have an exciting time, an awesome time for those of us who are veterans, whether it's from the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, the Coast Guard, the National Guard, wherever you may have served, we invite you to come. If you are a veteran, I'm trying to compile a list of all of the veterans who are in our church. And so when I come around and shake in your hand, just remind me, hey, I'm a veteran. I was in the Army, the Air Force, the Marines, whatever. I just want to make sure I add you to the list. I've already got a couple of dozen of you. And my memory is not so good. I've heard about others of you, but I didn't always remember. Who was that again? You might have to tell me your name a few times. But register.
Stand right now so we can see who we've got. All the veterans, would you stand for just a moment?
Amen.
All right. Yes, yes. Thank you.
Amen. And so I expect that we will have a great time Thursday evening at 6:30 in the evening at here in the gym. And so please register just to let us know how much food to prepare. If you're like me, you're technologically challenged. I think it's, you know, some of us, they've told me they don't know how to sign up on the website. I don't yet know how to do that yet either. So I'm waiting to maybe see someone tomorrow that show me how. But there are younger people here who know how to do that. They understand this stuff. So you can talk to one of them and they can show you how. Or get you signed up in the old-fashioned way where we just write your name down. I understand that. And I know Nancy showed me once, but I need to be shown a couple of times. So God bless you. We look forward to seeing you that night.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Peter. All right, for the ladies in the church today, we want to make you aware that we are starting up a new women's Sunday school class. Starts today in room 203. Kelly Yearton will be teaching that class. I got a couple quick youth announcements this morning. The youth, they are going ice skating at Washington Park Ice Arena here in Jefferson City this coming Friday night. Yes, this coming Friday night. And they are saying meet there at 7 o'clock at the arena. And the cost is only $8. Your copay probably will be a little more expensive. But anyway, all youth are also reminded of the upcoming, I will not be there, the Youth Fine Arts Convention coming up. The registration deadline is February the 5th. Also, if you have any questions, get with Pastor Lisa, and she can get you some more details. Also, for the ladies in the house, I want to remind you of another upcoming event, Super Thursday and Bingo. And that's going to be Thursday, January the 19th. That's non-gambling bingo, at least this first go-round. But we will have offering envelopes available for tithing if something breaks out that shouldn't. So
if gambling erupts, we will be taking resumes for a new church staff. Let me just say.
So be practicing up on your bingo. Pray for that event. And they're going to have soup sandwich, and it's going to be a great time. The event is free. Get with Pastor Deanna. She is the fallen backslidden pastor on the staff leading up bingo, if you got any questions. So anyway, it's going to be a long day and night for me tonight. So one final announcement. Thank the Lord here. We have a Valentine's Day banquet coming up on February the 10th. That's going to take place next door at 6 o'clock. We have saxophonist Greg Wynn scheduled to come. He's an amazing musician and minister. We're going to have an awesome meal prepared. And this is for everyone, for married, single, younger, older. And the cost is just $17 per person. You can also see Pastor Deanne if you have any other questions. All right, that's it in the way of announcements. If you would, please stand with us as Heidi comes to lead us.
And pleads for me. My name righteousness through the reed high changeable. I am the King of glory and of grace.
Pastor Lisa, would you stand and come this way, please? Look at that. She's on her feet. This is our youth pastor, Pastor Lisa, Dr. Lisa Howard. And she has been immobile, unable to walk for the last, what, 6 weeks? And she is now on her feet and ready for ice skating. She said, well, she told me the other day, she said, well, I've been sure to schedule for the next several weeks activities where I can just sit. I thought, ice skating? Yeah. So, Pastor Lisa, stretch your hands toward Pastor Lisa right now, and let's agree together in prayer for her complete healing. Father, we pray over Pastor Lisa. Thank you, Lord, for her. She's a gift to this body of Christ. We pray over her a speedy, complete recovery, Lord. Restore her strength. Renew her, O Lord. Take away pain and weakness and make her strong in the Lord and in your mighty power in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Lisa. Thank you, thank you, thank you. This is what you get when you're a youth pastor around here. When I was youth pastor, we went ice skating, and I see our beloved Missouri Secretary of State back there, Secretary Jay Ashcroft, who, when I was in high school, was the instructor, the ice skating instructor, down at the ice skating. Jay, would you mind please laying aside those less important duties as Secretary of State and come back to help us with our ice skating project? We would love that if you could do that, please. And we invite everybody to be a part of all these good things that are taking place. Yes, and we thank the Lord for a new year and his blessings. Today we move to Philippians chapter 3. I invite you to go there with me as we read beginning at verse number 10. A familiar passage of scripture. You'll recognize that my voice is weak this morning and my hearing is even weaker. So I can hear almost nothing today. So if you shout something critical during the sermon, I won't hear you this morning. I'll just tell you that. If you shout amen, I might hear you though. Yes, yes. Philippians chapter 3, these are the words of the Apostle Paul, verse number 10. Paul writes, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And everybody said amen. Time magazine listed the following top 10 New Year's resolutions made in America. Are you ready for them? Who can guess the number one? Who can guess the number one resolution? To lose weight. I take a little offense that you're saying that this morning while looking at me. To lose weight and exercise. Number two, quit smoking. Number three, learn something new. Number four, eat healthier. How many of you know that should be lumped with number one? Number five, get out of debt and save money. Number six, spend more time with family. Number seven, travel more. Number eight, to be less stressed. Number nine, volunteer at something. And number 10, which I hope nobody in the house needs, drink less. Another interesting article listed the top seven reasons why most people have already broken their New Year's resolutions. And here they, is there anybody guilty already of having broken a New Year's resolution? Maybe some of you, but you're too embarrassed to. And I'm certainly not going to admit it from the pulpit this morning. Why most people break their New Year's resolutions almost immediately? One, all or nothing thinking. In other words, if I slipped once, I might as well just throw it all away. Number two, the snowball effect. I broke it yesterday. I pledged to be on a diet, but how many of you know that even with the best intentions, most diets leave by about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, fail by about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the snowball effect. Number three, dwelling on setbacks. Number four, no plan to accomplish my goal. Number five, it's nice to keep, but no need to keep. Okay, I don't feel a real need about it. Number six, no vision. And number seven, not enough action. Yeah. So most New Year's resolutions are broken pretty quickly. I was surprised to hear a Fox News anchor say that his resolution was to get back in church more on Sundays. That's a good New Year's resolution, isn't it? And how many of you know everybody in the media really needs that? Yeah. Now, we're not wrapped up in New Year's resolutions around here. But any time is a good time to look ahead and plan for better days ahead. And any day is a good day to make a decision to grow and to move forward. That's what we're talking about this morning. The Apostle Paul gives us some good notes for a new year in our scripture today as he lays out a pattern for focusing and moving forward. Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians near the end of his life from prison in Rome. We believe the Apostle Paul was executed in the year 65 AD. Before that imprisonment, we know that Paul was imprisoned for 2 years in Rome from about 60 to 62 AD. It was during that period, 60 to 62, that Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians, just a few years before his execution. And Paul writes from Rome in prison, awaiting trial before Nero. Paul has lived a full life by now. He's preached all over the world. He's planted churches. He's written a great bulk of the New Testament. He's an old man by his own admission. At the same time Paul writes Philippians, he writes Philemon. And in his letter to Philemon, he says, I'm an old man by now. So Paul himself says, I'm in the last season of my life. We might would think of this as Paul's retirement season, but it's in that season of life that the Apostle Paul says, I'm looking forward and pressing forward. There's more to my life than past or present. I still have a future. Early on, a chapter or so earlier in Philippians, the Apostle Paul wrestled with this question. Is it time for me to go home to be with the Lord? Or am I going to linger a little longer here in this life? And Paul had come to the conclusion in chapter 1, it's not time to go home with to be with the Lord yet. I've got more work to do, so I'm going to linger around here a little bit longer. Now, how many of you know our lives are ultimately in the hands of the Lord? And he has our days numbered. But Paul sensed from the Lord as he wrote this letter, it's not time for me to give up or give out yet. I have more to accomplish, more people to to reach, more victories to be won, more territory to be possessed, more mountains to climb. As Paul writes from Rome, he is planning to reach more of the civilized world with the good news of Jesus. In fact, he's got it on his mind and his spirit to make his way all the way to Spain. We don't know if Paul ever reached Spain, not from the scriptures at least. And yet the Apostle Paul had these sights in mind. I've got a lot more to do for God. And beyond that, Paul says, I've got my own personal growing that still needs to be accomplished in my own life. Here he is, the Apostle Paul, writing scripture under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And yet Paul says, I want to grow in the Lord myself in this next season of my life. And Paul lays out a pattern in our scriptures today for moving forward in spiritual life and victory. I want to bring these simple thoughts to you this morning. I know our time is late today, but think with me today about five simple principles for moving forward in the Lord. Now, let me ask you, how many of you here in the house today, you are a born-again Christian and you are serious about your life in the Lord? Let me see your hand. Lift it up and say amen. If that's you this morning, then you'll understand what we're talking about. Number one, the first principle, if we're going to ever grow in the Lord, is to examine and evaluate everything. Paul writes these words in verse 12, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Paul says, I have not really reached the place in Christ that I want to reach and that I feel like I need to reach. There's more for my spiritual life, says the Apostle Paul, that I want to take hold of. And Paul is in this process of evaluating himself and everything around him. Where am I in this season of life? And that's the principle that we've got to take a hold of this morning. We've got to evaluate who we are, where we are. Think about the questions that are on the outline for us today as we evaluate our spiritual lives. First of all, who am I? Who am I? Well, you might respond with a variety of things. Most people would say, well, we'd respond with our name, and then we might respond with our career. Who am I? When people ask me that kind of question, who are you? I might typically say, well, I'm Lowell Perkins. I'm the pastor over at First Assembly across from Schulte's. That's my regular answer. How many of you know Schulte's must appreciate my advertising all these years? I introduce myself as by my name and by my profession. Although, as you know, my calling from God is more than a profession to me, but that's how most people answer that question. Well, what about spiritually? Who am I spiritually? Where am I in my spiritual life, and which way am I going? Where do I want to wind up? And what am I waiting for? Now, let's think about those questions for just a moment. We apply these kinds of questions to life's pursuits. We apply them to hobbies. We say, I want to collect my dad years ago started on a pursuit. He hates when I use him as an illustration, but there he is. My dad started years ago collecting Hot Wheels cars, and it became his all-out passion to collect every Hot Wheels car ever made. And so he went here and there and everywhere. Now he doesn't have all those Hot Wheel cars anymore. He gave a lot of cars to a children's home sometime back. But in that pursuit, he determined with a plan to collect the Hot Wheels. He researched the process. He said, this is something I want to do. Now, he's been a collector all of his life. He collects all kinds of things, but that's just one illustration. He went out to do this, and he accomplished it, I guess. At least looks like he accomplished it. And we apply these kinds of questions. Where am I in the pursuit? What do I want to do? What do I need to do to get there? We apply these things to hobbies, to our health. Some of you weigh yourself every day to see what progress you're making. Where am I in the progress? What's my goal? We apply this to careers and to finances. You count, if you're trying to get out of debt, you count the number of months that are up ahead of you. For if you're going to stay faithful to the plan and the process, you examine where you are in all of this pursuit. We apply these kinds of thought processes to many categories of life. People even apply these kinds of questions to the careers, you know. What do I need to do to get to the next step in the career that I'm involved in? What's my next move? What's my next plan? So I'm encouraging us this morning not to apply these things just to all of these worldly pursuits, but to our spiritual lives as well. Wouldn't you say that would be fair? And so we ask these kinds of questions. Who am I? What kind of Christian am I? Think about these questions this morning that make it a little more specific. What kind of Christian am I? Am I a serious Christian or a casual Christian? When I was a teenager, a popular Christian group, DeGarmo and Key, if anybody is as old as I am, came out with a song that declared, I don't want to be a casual Christian. I don't want to live a lukewarm life. I want to catch on fire for the Lord, right? Am I a serious Christian or an unserious Christian? Am I strong or weak? Am I hot, cold, or lukewarm? These are the kinds of questions the scripture asks. Am I on fire for the Lord? Am I cold in the Lord, or am I lukewarm in the Lord? What about this? Am I an energetic Christian and a hardworking Christian, or am I a lazy Christian? You say, I don't want to ask those questions. Well, here we are. Let's ask this question. Am I a growing Christian or a stalled, stagnant Christian, or am I a declining Christian? Am I a declining Christian? Where am I in the Lord? Which way am I going? Where do I want to wind up? If I keep going in the same direction spiritually that I'm going right now, where will I wind up? The truth is, some people are stalled in their spiritual lives, and they're never going to move forward until they take care of some spiritual priority that they have maybe for years been putting off taking care of. They've got some matter of unforgiveness towards somebody who hurt them somewhere down the road somewhere, and they are bitter over that. They're never going to move forward in the Lord until they take care of that roadblock. Are you here this morning? There are some Christians, they love the Lord, they say they love the Lord, they're faithful to church, they sing and they worship and all of those things, but there's a clear, blatant sin in their lives that they will not deal with, and they will not move forward in the Lord until they take care of that sin that stands between them and the Lord. Are you here? And, you know, sometimes people deceive themselves. They say, well, I want to do A, B, and C to try to start growing in the Lord. But there's this big elephant in the room that stands between them and spiritual growth, and they won't take care of it. What is that? They think they can move forward in the Lord despite the directions the Lord has given them. Can you imagine that some people think they know more about their spiritual life than the Lord knows or the scripture knows, and yet they are hindered? Some Christians are they're stalled right where they are, and some are just declining. I've been around long enough to watch. I have seen people, think about this. Is everybody awake this morning? I've been around long enough and been a pastor long enough to have watched Christians, think about this, to have watched Christians criticize other Christians for matters of lukewarmness or spiritual lack, only to watch them over time develop into the same kind of people that they criticized, and now they are doing the same thing that they criticized others for 10 years ago. Yeah. And spiritually, they are declining. And they haven't taken their spiritual temperature in a long time. They haven't examined anything. They just coasted along. They just sort of, you know, treated their Christian life as if it were not anything very serious for them to deal with. Now, these are sometimes uncomfortable questions to ask ourselves, but as one ancient philosopher declared, the unexamined life is not worth living. I hate to quote from a pagan, but Aristotle said the unexamined life is not worth living. Now, the reality is that as Christians, the scriptures teach us to examine ourselves. In fact, I'm going to be wrapping up our study through 2 Corinthians this Wednesday night, Lord willing, should the Lord tarry. And we're going to come to that place in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 where the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith and whether or not you would be able to pass the test, Paul says. And so we are called to examine ourselves and not allow ourselves. Have you ever known somebody who just allowed their physical appearance just to go to pot? They stopped taking care of themselves. Don't look over at your spouse now. I see it. Don't do that. They might look right back at you. Have you ever known somebody who just let themselves go in a lot of categories of life? They just stop tending to things. And as Christians, we're called to evaluate everything and to stay in tune spiritually with where we are in the Lord. Who am I? Where am I? And which way am I going? Where do I want to wind up? And what am I waiting for? Joshua asked the people of Israel in Joshua chapter 18, they were arguing and complaining that they didn't have enough territory. And Joshua said, well, how long are you going to wait till you go up and take possession of the land the Lord promised you? How long will you wait to do that? Some of you desperately, it's so quiet in the house, and I think the fans are not blowing this morning. You know, the blowing of the air conditioning fans usually take up a little slack from the lack of amens in the house. Let's be sure and get those fans going for the second service, please. Some of us here today, perhaps you just have not examined yourself in a long, long time. And the truth is, some people have really declined and they haven't even really taken notice of it. The Lord said to the Israelites, gray hairs are appearing here and there, and you don't even notice it. Yeah. because you haven't examined yourself lately. What are you waiting for? You know, tomorrow's always a good time to start, isn't it? Tomorrow's always a good time to start. So we've got to evaluate everything. I got to hurry here because I spent all my time on the first point. Evaluate everything spiritually. Secondly, we've got to envision elevation. In other words, think about what it would be like if we were to move forward in the Lord. Listen to verse 10. Paul writes, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul says, I'm invested and I am determined to know the Lord better in two categories. I want to know him in his death, and I want to know him in his resurrection. I want to know the Lord in every way that I can know him. Think about these questions this morning. What if I died deadlier with Jesus? Paul says, I want to know Christ in the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. And Paul would write to the Galatians in chapter 2, I want to be crucified with Christ. The writer of Hebrews said, we've got to lay aside everything that hinders us and the sin that entangles us. The scriptures teach us to continually lay aside things that are keeping us from being all that the Lord wants us to be and to die more to self so that we might live more to Jesus. Now, only the Holy Spirit, well, the scriptures and the Holy Spirit help us to know how to trim, are you listening? How to trim our lives down spiritually so that we have been crucified with Christ more fully. We have died with him more completely. The old life of sin has died out, right? The old perspectives, the old ambitions, the old things that used to thrill us, the old fleshly desires are being burned away more and more and more. What if I died deadlier with Jesus? What if I would get rid of more of the things that hinder me from being who the Lord wants me to be? Right? What if I got rid of some things that really are just distractions in my life spiritually? What if I did that? I'll tell you what, if we did that, we would be freer to press forward in the Lord. Huh? If we decided I am going to prioritize my life and just sort of trim down and prune away some of the things that really are hindering me from being all I can be in Jesus, all I can be, and also that are hindering me from doing what I want to do for Jesus. Huh? You say, Pastor Lowell, this sounds like a sermon for full-time pastors, not for people in the pews. No, this is for all serious Christians. What if I got rid of some more things in my life so that I could just be more for Jesus and do more for Jesus? These are real questions. What if I died deadlier with Jesus? The second question, what if I lived livelier with Jesus? What if I determined to absolutely come alive in my relationship with the Lord? What if I chose, just based on a simple commandment, what if I chose to love the Lord with all of my heart, all my mind, all my soul, and get this, Don't skip the last one. What if I decided to love the Lord with all of my strength? Oh my goodness. If all of God's people loved the Lord with all of their strength, not only would the church burst forth in revival, but this city would be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the world would be turned upside down by the power. If God's people came fully alive in the power of his Spirit, and Paul says, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. How many of you know when Jesus rose from the dead, he rose in power? And Paul says, I want to know Jesus in the power of his resurrection. I want to be like a brand new man in the Lord. I want to be like someone who died but has come back to life in the supernatural power of Almighty God. I want to be like a man set on fire by God with the life of God. Oh, friends, listen to me. If you're a serious question, if you're a serious Christian, these questions should at least tantalize and tempt you a little bit. Are you here this morning? You should at least be thinking, well, what if? What if? Let's envision elevation. What if I died more and came to life more in the Lord? Number one, evaluate everything. Number two, envision elevation. Number three, we must engage energetically. Verse 13, Paul writes, so forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on. Everybody say the word straining. Now say the word press. The two verbs here that the Apostle Paul has settled on are these verbs, and these regard his life in the Lord. The verbs straining and pressing. Now, those are not weak, wimpy words, are they? Those are terms of diligence and effort. And Paul says, I've got to forget what is behind and strain toward what is ahead. And press on. The first thing I want you to note about this is that it's the Lord who authorizes us for forward movement. It's the Lord who allows us to forget what's in the past. Some of you might be here today and you might evaluate everything and you might come up with this conclusion. I have been a slack, slothful, sloppy Christian. For years. I've never done much for the Lord. I've never really applied much to my spiritual life. I want to go to heaven, but that's about all I've really focused on is just being prepared for salvation. For some of us might just be an insurance policy. You don't really love the Lord too much. If you did, you'd press toward him more. So, Pastor, dismiss the service, please. No, let's think about it. Let's think about it. Some of you, you don't really love the Lord much, or you would develop a relationship with him. Huh? If you really love the Lord, you would love his word, and you would love spending some time with him, right? You may come to the conclusion today, I've been a slothful, sloppy, slack Christian for years. Well, the good news for you this morning is that the Apostle Paul, the Lord through the Apostle Paul here, gives us the option of forgetting what is behind and pressing toward a new future in the Lord. Are you here today? Forgetting what is behind, and nobody could have accused Paul of any of that, but even Paul says, forgetting what is behind, I strain toward what is ahead, and I press on. In order to do that, we must make a practical plan to grow and become stronger, to accomplish more. We've got to give our lives to being in the Word of God and praying and worshiping and serving the Lord. Listen to me today. Some of us need to just really begin to force ourselves to be witnesses for Jesus. Are you here? You've been afraid of that all these years. You're too shy. You're not comfortable with some of us, because we know that that's one of the chief purposes for which the Lord has called us. Amen. Because of that, some of us just need to force ourselves to leave our comfort zone and begin to be witnesses for Jesus. We've got to make a practical plan. What are the basic areas of spiritual life where you have not been faithful or diligent? Determine those areas and then make a practical plan. No, I'm not going to be ignorant of the Word of God anymore. I'm going to become a Bible reader. I'm going to become a Bible student. I'm going to begin to study. I'm going to begin to listen to teaching. I'm going to begin to prepare myself to be a man or a woman of the Word of God. I am tired of being somebody to whom the book of Hebrews says, by the time you ought to be teachers, you need somebody to teach you the basic elements of the truth all over again. I don't want to be a 30-year Christian with a 2-year-old biblical awareness and knowledge. Do you? Or maybe it's in the area of prayer. Maybe it's in the area of serving others. Whatever it is, we as we take honest inventory and evaluation of our lives, some of us would have to realize, I've got to get moving. Make a practical plan. And then march out in pursuit of that plan. Start today, and with the Lord's help, keep moving. And let me give you a word. If we were to read down a few more verses into Philippians chapter 3, we would come to verse 16 where the Apostle Paul writes these words. I hate that the Apostle Paul even had to write these words, but he did. Paul said in verse 16, at least let us live up to what we have already attained. Now here's Paul talking about pressing forward. Moving forward, and he says to the Philippians, at least let us maintain. Right? But how many of you know maintaining is not enough? Spiritual growth is the point here. At least let us maintain. At least don't lose ground. Can I tell you that as I have watched people and known people through the years, it has been shocking to me at times to see Christians whom I thought would never give up on forward movement, only to watch them wind down in their spiritual lives to a halt and then begin to backslide and go backward and lose ground and drop out of church, and drop out of prayer and the Word of God, and drop out of the things of God. Can I tell you that sometimes those who thought they were standing firm were fooled by the enemy, and their spiritual lives began to decline dramatically, and they may have thought, listen, years ago, they may have thought, oh, I'll never fall away from the Lord, only to find that they themselves have now fallen away from the Lord. Shocking. Shocking. That's why 1 Corinthians 10, Paul says, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Can I tell you this morning, we need the Lord and we need him desperately. Can I tell you this morning that we can't afford to get our eyes off of Jesus? Are you here today? Can I tell you that you can't afford to take a very long vacation away from the things of God? We need the Lord. We need his strength every day. We need the focus of his word. We need the empowerment of his spirit. Yes. We need the vibrancy of worship. We need the encouragement of the people of God. We need everything the Lord has for us. We can't afford to go without those things. The biblical ingredients to strong spiritual life, we've got to have all of those ingredients on our plate, right? So we've got to make a plan and march out in pursuit of that plan. And as we do, number four, we've got to embrace excellence. Paul, verse 13, but one thing I do. One thing Paul says, I'm gonna follow Jesus and go forward for Jesus if my life has no other purpose. Because my relationship with Jesus is more important than anything else in this earthly life. It is. Our Lord is excellent, and our lives can be excellent. We don't have to settle for a mediocre, lukewarm Christian life. Let's catch on fire. Yep, come on, come on, come on, come on. Let's catch on fire. You say, Pastor, I'm pretty on fire. I feel like I'm pretty on fire. Let's turn up the heat a little more. Huh? Huh? You say, I'm hot. I'm hot. I'm hot in the Lord. I'm strong in the Lord. Oh, listen, can you build up those muscles just a little bit stronger? You're looking at me and say, I never knew Pastor Lowell had such muscles. Can you get a little stronger in the Lord? Can you touch a few more people for Jesus? Amen. Yeah? What if, listen to me, friends, what if this year, 2023, was the most powerful spiritual year you ever experienced in life? Wouldn't that be awesome? And yet some of you here this morning, you have to look back to 1982. I'm not joking. Some of you, your most powerful year in the Lord was 1982 or 1997. That's the year that you came on fire for God and you experienced spiritual growth and spiritual life, and you were so happy in the Lord, and you were so excited about the things of God, 1997. And from that year till this, no year, no season has compared to that season in your life. I want to say to you this morning, if that's where you are today, you need to forget 1997 and focus on 2023. Are you here today? And you need to understand that as powerful of an experience as you may have had somewhere down in the history of your life, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And today is a good day. Today is a new day. Today is the day to get excited about the Lord again. As we embrace excellence, and as we wind up the process here, evaluating everything, envisioning elevation, engaging energetically, embracing excellence, we've got to learn, number five, to enjoy it all enthusiastically. And here's what Paul writes in verse 12, not that I've already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Let's go for the prize. Let's embrace Jesus and let's enjoy the journey. And let's begin once again, dear friends. If this has become an experience of the past for you, I urge you this morning, let's begin again to enjoy our relationship with the Lord. Are you here? To give it all over to Him, to receive everything He has for us, and to rejoice daily in the Lord and in the progress that we're making in our journey in Him. I heard a preacher say years ago, he said, who we are is far more important than what we do. And I believe that. I believe that. But I believe that as we change or allow the Lord to change who we are, that will change what we do. It'll change the way we live. It'll change our priorities. It'll change our spiritual fruitfulness. Are you here? It'll change who we are, and it'll ultimately result in the prize, the reward, for which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. And when we get there, the crown will be waiting. Rewards will be distributed. The Lord Jesus will say, "Well done, good and faithful." Think about that expression from Jesus. Well done. Well done. You have been faithful, and now you're going to enter into the joys of your Lord. And what a day that will be as we realize that serving Jesus and living our utmost for his highest was worth it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand together, everyone.